You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for letting us into your ears today. We're about to get to know Ty Verdes. He has a brand new album out. It is called TV. You know his records from the TikTok, Stuck in the Middle, A-OK. We have a lot to talk about, obviously. So please subscribe to this podcast and share it with those you care about. And let us know who we should invite on our couch next. That's Zach Sang Show on every form of social media. Okay, Ty Verdes, like Ty Dye, is hanging out now. Hi, beautiful human. I'm Zach. That's Dan.
Yo.
And this is Ty Verdes. Did I say that correct?
That's how you know you got a good name if no one can say it right.
Well, Tyler Tyler Cologne is your real name.
Yeah. And then I changed it because I just wanted to.
Yeah, but did you legally change it? Like if you whip out your ID
oh,
right now?
Oh, no, man. I'm too lazy for that. Come on.
No. Are you lazy?
Yeah, I'm the most lazy person of all time. That's why I can only do stuff that I really, really enjoy doing.
Okay, and you really, really enjoy doing music?
Yeah, like I tried everything, man. I did stand-up comedy, I did acting, I did a podcast, I did modeling, I did, I was doing piano cover videos back when Instagram wasn't like Instagram, you know? So I've been doing social stuff for a long time. And all that, you know, kind of didn't really catch my interest. But when I did start doing music and dialing into what I wanted to do, it just caught me.
Well, hold on. So what point in your life do you realize that music could be something serious and you actually sit down and give time and energy to doing it properly?
Yeah, I don't think there is a point, you know, like I was just at the Verizon store working and then I was making music when I had time to because that was what I was interested in. And then one of these days, I just downloaded TikTok, put it on my TikTok, and then it went crazy.
Yeah, but why were you interested in music? Were you only interested because the other stuff failed?
No. I've been doing music for a long time. I played piano since I was like 11. I did guitar for 2 years. I did ukulele for like 4 years. I was the kid in college with the ukulele trying to be like, hey, guys, listen to me play.
I'm Jason Mraz.
Yeah, exactly.
But you were doing...
Wait, can I swear on this or no?
Yeah,
no.
You're fine.
Oh, yeah. Ukulele on the fight. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay, you're playing ukulele in college. I read that you did piano and you do like random covers on the piano.
Like, yeah, I did that when I was like 2016, yeah, bro, crazy.
And then, but you started when you were really young. Like you'd been playing piano for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So is piano the base of how you create music today?
Just how long I've been into it, like music theory, like a lot of it is I think easier on piano because you can see all of the notes. You don't have to play them perfect. Like on guitar, you have to press down on something the perfect way or play the chord a really nice way. But if you just press down piano, obviously there's dynamics to playing piano. But if you press down on a note, you get an A note. You know, you don't have to slide it around like on a guitar you can. But music theory kind of built what I do right now, which is, you know, like produce, make music, you know, arrange, write. That's how I do it. And just being influenced by all the music that my mom and my parents showed me when I was growing up.
Did you go to college for music?
Nah, man, I went to college for entrepreneurship. I went there for a year and a half, and then I entrepreneurship my way out of college.
What did you have that was better than the university at the time?
I just don't think that you need... I think every case is different, but I just didn't vibe with whatever was happening there. Like, One of the assignments was they gave you like $5,000 for 30 kids and you started your own business. We had this collapsible coffee cup and that's what I did. But I was on the marketing team. So I was like, okay, what if we put the coffee cup on Tinder so that when people are swiping, they'll see the coffee cup and interact with it. And we can have the coffee cup, you know, right back and whatever.
That's a great idea. Then,
right. Great idea. But I got in trouble for that idea. So I went into class and they were like, yeah, you guys can't do that. We don't want Tinder associated with our whatever it's called.
Collapsible coffee cup?
Well, they just didn't want Tinder associated with the university. And I was like, that seems dumb. This is $5,000 and it's not going to get connected with you guys. And guess who started promoting on Tinder? Every company ever after mm-hmm. that. So that's what I was doing when I was in college. And then I was also failing classes. So I failed everything. And like English, even like, you know, I write music now, but I didn't even get an F. I got a, what is it? Unfinished or whatever, like a dash. Geez. Right. Oh, so after I got the dash, I was like, I got a dash up out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, why am I here?
Yeah. And they told me that I either could leave or resubmit for college. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to leave and try community college. I was like, okay, Babson, we get it. It's like it's a private school. It's expensive. My parents were paying for it at the time. And then they were like, we're not paying for this school anymore. And I was like, okay, so what's affordable? Let me take out a loan and go to community college and start like just be independent. I did that for a semester, and then that was it. I was like, don't want to do community college anymore. So then after community college, I was like, let's get a job.
So like a real job though.
Yeah, so I did, technically, I got on a reality TV show after that.
Okay, and then you win $50,000.
And then I win $50,000. You're doing your research over there.
We haven't even started here, dude. You use $50,000 to move to LA, and that's where you try your hand at a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was in college, one of my friends was like, listen to this. I'm watching this show. And I was like, I'd be perfect for this show. So I submitted, got through like 7-8 rounds of casting.
Why were you perfect for this show? Because it was competition-based, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like dating-based, like personality-based. And I think people, I was like, you know, the guy that wasn't doing class, I was like making fun of people, having fun. I was playing basketball at the time too. I was playing basketball for a long time since I was a kid, and then after I broke my foot, I just didn't play anymore. But everyone was like, oh yeah, submit for the show, see what happens. And then I did, and then I got it. And that's the money I used to, you know, try out all those different things I said in the beginning, like, you know, doing a 5-minute stand-up comedy show, doing I was like a backup, what is it? A stand-in on one of the new Brad Pitt movies. You know, like, that's what I was doing, random stuff, man.
Did you know this entire time, though, even when you were in college, that the entertainment industry is what you actually wanted to do?
I mean, I didn't really know. I didn't really know at all, just because I just knew that I hated school. I knew that I hated school, didn't want to be at school. I liked being around people. Like, I liked the atmosphere of it all. But other than that, not really. I wasn't like, I'm going to be a star, though. I was like, I want to make music. I mean, I want to make money on the internet. And I also like music. And I also like all the I'd see people do interviews. And I'd see people do TV shows. And, like, acting looked fun. Like, it all looked more fun than working at a desk to me.
Your mom, did she actually tell you that you'd be a star when you grew up?
No, she just told me my voice mattered. And that's how I interpreted it. You know,
this is a great line. Time to go. You're too special to lay around my house and take up space. You're going to do something for the human race.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
That I'm going to do something for the human race?
Has your album done something?
I think that it's not my job to say if I've done something for the human race. It's my job to just be grateful for like being able to be in the position. And then after I'm grateful, people now message me like, oh, the A-OK got me out of my bad mood, or feeling this bad never felt so great got me out of my really toxic relationship, or Solamente makes me feel less alone. Like, those are the type of messages that are really cool to get.
Do you feel obligated to do something that is worthwhile to make your parents proud?
I don't feel obligated to do anything. I just feel obligated to do something that I love, because I'm here for a short time. Like, I'm going to die, so I have to do something. Like, I need to do something that I'm super passionate about, because nothing else can hold my interest.
In False Prophet, are you passionate about making art, or are you passionate about what comes with fame?
I'm passionate about not working a 9-to-5. And that's what I think that I was trying to say in Fake Prophet, is like, I want to be marketing. And I think that a lot of people think marketing is fame, but marketing is just business. And that's what I like, is like connecting with people, giving people something. When marketing is supposed to be like taking from people, but giving people something is actually the best way to market. And that's how I built it on TikTok, is just being like, here, I'm giving you this music. Here, let me send my car and give you something for your day, instead of saying, this is the next song that you need to listen to. Like, hey, if you like this song, listen to it. If you don't, then I'll get you with the next one. You know?
What does music give you?
Music gives me I don't know. It gives me an escape because I, like I said, I just need something to focus on, and it's really focusing because it, my brain scrapes through every single second of it. Yeah, and I've said this before, but it's like green lights and red lights. So if I hear green the entire time, then it's a, then it's the song's done. But if there's something that like makes maybe goes yellow or red during the song, then it's not done.
How does the song start?
The song needs to hook somebody, no matter what. Even if it's not a, even if it's not a pop song, an alternative song, any type of song, I think it has to have something interesting in the beginning.
But when, okay, so when you're creating it though, are you going based on a story that you need to tell? Are you being given a piece of production? Like,
yeah. So I can write to track. So a lot of the songs that I made on the album are just written to track. Like just the whole, all the music's there, and I just write on top of it. So
in,
I just curate.
In some cases, you're the producer too. One, you're the sole writer on the whole album, TV. Mm.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of industry stuff that goes along. Like if a producer's in the room, if a producer makes it, they get credit for writing on the track too. So like, yeah, I wrote like 80% of it. Yeah.
A lot of it. Yeah.
Adam Friedman, a great guy.
By the way, you know, it's so funny when I was listening to your album, I really thought like combination of early Mike Posner, like drug dealer girl era Mike with like Bob Marley Weezer energy.
Mm.
And to see him after listening to the album a couple times, it all kind of clicked.
Mm.
At what point do you give him A-OK or do you create it from the beginning with him? What was that like?
So what he had was living in this big blue world with my head up in space. I don't know. I'm A-OK. And then that wasn't even the beginning of the song. That was in one of the songs that he showed me. And I was like, bro, you didn't start the song like that. That's what I mean by arrangement, right? I was like, you need to put that in the front of the song. And then also, the guitar sounded really good. So I was like, doesn't this guitar sound so good? In my head, that's what I thought. So I was, and I love it when people talk in the beginning or end of songs. So that's what I said in the beginning of the song, and it really just clicked.
So do you get this session after Stuck in the Middle blows up?
Do I get the session with Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was working with nobody. I was working by myself.
You were actually working at Verizon and then alone. Yes.
Yeah, I was working alone in my bedroom. And that was when I was living in a living room, too. That whole time that I'm doing all that, like, podcasting, modeling, and stuff like that, I'm living in a sectioned-off living room in downtown L.A. for, like, 4 years.
Amazing.
Yeah. So in that sectioned-off living room, I'm writing, "You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you go." And after that, I put it on TikTok. That's when it started blowing up. I think it was around like 2 million to 4 million streams when I worked with Adam. That's when I met Ryan, my manager's in this room being sneaky. He introduced me to Adam, and then I started working with him. We made a terrible song. It wasn't, not a terrible song, but just a song that I didn't like that much. And then the next day, we wrote Drugs. And that's how I knew that I like to make music with people that I actually like. You know, like if I can hang out, I hang out with Adam all the time. Sometimes we just hang out for like 6 hours. And then in the seventh hour, I'll be like, that's a good idea. And then we'll start making a song and then we'll finish it hour 12.
Well, there's vulnerability attached to making this stuff.
Exactly.
And it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your story is in the music. It's in the songs.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say something when I'm making these songs.
You're giving us a glimpse into who you are.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So you can only make that with people that
you can be vulnerable around.
Yeah. And you can share, have bad ideas, but also understand when there's a good idea. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's very intricate, and not all of those relationships go well.
Yeah, I mean, I try to make, when I meet producers in LA, and I try to be the one that's like, okay, when I'm writing right now, what's going to make them stop producing and be like, right, he's really saying this next to me right now? That's what usually ends up being a good song.
Do you go in with ideas, or do you go based on the energy of that room?
I'm constantly thinking of ideas. I've seen a lot of, like, now that I'm a songwriter, I guess, officially.
Does that, like, even saying that, does that surprise you at all?
I just think that everyone is taking themselves too seriously in the industry. Like, I don't know. When people go out and they're like, oh, this is, what I do is so important, which it is important in some aspects. But, like, I'm just having fun. Whether it's a sad song, happy song, melancholy song, I'm just having fun and I'm trying to make a business. That's fun for me. So I forgot the question, but that's what I started talking about. Being a songwriter.
Like you keep saying business. This is a business. Is it a business first, or what is it first?
No, it's 50-50, which I think a lot of people are kind of like to shy away, at least artists a little bit, shy away from the other 50% of like marketing and stuff like that because they're like, oh, I'm going to sell out, or, oh, I'm going to be inauthentic in some sort of way, or it just doesn't align with my artist vision. When in reality, it should be trying to create a parallel between your artist vision and the marketing aspect. So if you're like the guy who doesn't want to show your face, then don't show your face, but then share your music in some sort of way. Like, you have to be creative. Yeah. And I think that artists use a lot of their mental energy on being creative with their music and production, but they don't do it on the marketing, which can help them be way bigger if they want to be. Like, not every artist wants to be the biggest artist in the world. Not every business wants to be Amazon. You know, it's all about knowing what you want. And I think for me, I know what I want, and that's just, well, actually, I don't even know what I want. I'm taking it as far as I can now, but maybe I'll come up against something that I don't want to do, and then I won't do it. But right now, I haven't found anything that I don't want to do business-wise.
So, I mean, there's two parts here. Do you see yourself, do you want to be Amazon in this game?
Yeah, I mean.
And what does it mean to be Amazon in music?
I think anyone who has built a following with a personality and with a vulnerability, like Tyler, the Creator, so himself, Billie the Eilish, so herself, Billie the Eilish, Billie Eilish, so herself, like Kanye, so himself. Just figuring out how to be yourself and know that whatever idea comes in your head is okay for other people to think. And whether that's Amazon or whether it's, you know, Schmamazon, I just want to make it okay for people to think thoughts, you know?
So let's go back to marketing. What is the root of good music marketing then, in your belief? I mean, does it come from a genuine place?
Yeah, everything comes from a genuine place, marketing-wise. Like, I think some of the coolest marketing stuff that I've seen in the past, like, do you ever remember seeing that video of Hozier singing Take Me to Church in That Subway?
Yes.
That was marketing.
Yeah.
Right? So if you think about those ways where it's like, this guy probably doesn't want to go and do, like, the most glitz and glammy poppy thing, but if he's in a subway singing with you know, people in a subway performer. Yeah. Then it connects with his fans, and now it shows that he like wants to share his music, yeah. And it just makes him cool, like, for doing that. So,
and it goes viral. He sounds amazing. He reaches organically new people. Of course.
Like, exactly.
There is so many layers to it, but does it always add up to be the right thing every time? Right? Like, some artists do lean more on the credibility of their music over the concept of taking an easy route to go viral.
Yeah. I think there's so many good musicians out there in the world, but it's how do you stick out? And it's more than just the music.
Yeah. I think having a personality in general that you want to share is a thing that artists need to decide whether what they want to do. Like, if you want to go on a talk show and show your personality, that's a big decision you got to make, because that's the personality people are going to like connect you with. So being confident in that is really important. And it's all case by case basis. It's about what you want, like, as an artist. Like, not every artist has to be the biggest, but if you want to be, then you should be creative.
But you want to be the biggest.
Yeah, man. I think that I have a lot of passion for this, and I'm not really scared of a lot of people. Also, like, going outside is not my funnest thing that I like. Like, I don't care about going outside that much, you know? Like, when quarantine happened, I was chilling. And I think a lot of people got really sad, and they're like, I don't want to make music anymore. I don't want to put out music. And it was definitely the right decision for some people. Like, if you're big, and there was, like, social rights issues going on, the pandemic was happening, probably not the best move for Katy Perry to be like, look at my album.
Yeah, but it gave artists,
but like, it gave artists like me the chance. Yeah,
there was clear runway consistently to the point where you were having artists emerge that you would have never had before,
and exactly,
music was way more democratized than it's been ever.
Crazy,
like, it really is true. Like, if you have a phone, you have the power to pick the next hit, to create the next arena selling artists.
Wow, and TikTok is a big reason of that too.
Why do you think Stuck in the Middle blew up on TikTok?
A couple of reasons. Everything that you post on TikTok needs to happen fast, because it's basically a good idea machine. So your good idea has to happen fast, and it has to relate to people. So the three things that happen in the beginning of Stuck in the Middle is, it starts with like a bass line that's super like, it's like, what is this?
Not a sample?
No, that was okay. How I found this, 2,000 views on that beat.
Really?
On YouTube. Guy in France was making it. And I just picked it out, and I was like, okay, I'm going to write Stuck in the Middle over this.
Oh.
And then I had to, like, go back and forth with this dude from France who doesn't speak English that well and be like, dude, it has 250,000 streams right now. I need to buy this from you. And he's like, wait. Let's see. I've had other songs that get 250,000 streams. Huh. Let's figure out something that we can do. So he kind of held out a little bit to get a little bit more money. But who cares in the long scheme of things?
Your life's rather different.
Exactly. So it was funny just to kind of do the Lil Nas X thing where you find something on the internet, you use it, and you make something completely new out of it. I do the thing where I crowdsource. Like, I'm not the best producer in the world, but I can find a producer who made his best beat, and I'll figure out my best lyrics and put it on something and make something cool. Like, music should be made together, because that's how you can get further if you want to. If I wanted to be a producer, mixer, master, everything, I would never be here because I'd have too much focus on. But I'm just trying to write the best lyrics, help produce the best thing, and then put something out.
So is that your strength in the studio?
Writing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Writing and arranging.
Got it. So, wow. That's crazy. This guy from France has a hit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't realize.
And so do you.
Yeah.
Two hits.
Yeah, dude. Wild. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, after Stuck in the Middle takes off, how long after that do you start thinking about, okay, how can I follow this one up?
Well, I had maybe 20 songs and 10 songs that I actually liked at the time. And that's when I really didn't have my sound yet. After I wrote Drugs with Adam, though, I wrote Cute Kids and then Feeling This Bad Never Felt So Great all in a row. So after I did that, I kind of had a sound of what I liked.
What of those are crowdsourced? Any of
them? That's like me and Adam making something from the ground up.
Got it.
Crowdsourced, like me writing over a beat. Solamente is me writing over a beat. Stuck in the Middle is me writing over a beat. And then Real World. A lot of it is just me writing over beats, which is how I kind of like it like that, because I get to tell these stories of my perspective and then share over these amazing producers who've been doing it for years, who maybe they have a musical beat that not a lot of pop people want to use, not a lot of like alternative people want to use.
But
I'll hear something in it just because music is dope. But if you have like that, what I said about like the musicians promoting and stuff like that, people don't want to be shown new things. You don't want to be shown something new. Because if I say, bro, and you don't know who I am, bro, check out my song. Your first thought is, I hate you. First thought is, every single time, I hate you. So you want to make it so that you try to make the least amount of people hate you. This music game is not about making people like you, because people hate Justin Bieber. I talk to people every day. I hate Justin Bieber's voice. Oh, he's old. I don't want to talk. I don't want to listen to him anymore. So, okay, he's still Justin Bieber, you know? So it's like,
in evoking emotion is evoking emotion.
Exactly.
And that's what you're looking to do, because no matter what the emotion is, you take up real estate in that person's brain, and that increases your brand size. Yeah.
Yeah. We're on the same page, Zach.
I get you.
Hell yeah.
Is there a strategy with some of the words you use? Because in Stuck in the Middle, you obviously open up and you like mention the word hose, which will grab your attention. And then in Drugs, it's called Drugs. That's going to grab your attention. Do you do that on purpose?
I don't do it on purpose. I just don't want to write something that I've heard before. I think with a lot of these songs out here, if I'm at least me as a new artist, I can't go on a track and the first lines be my love, my heart hurts and my love is hard, because everyone's heard that. But if you say Stuck in the Middle, like you're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes. Something that I've experienced. I only write from stuff that I've experienced. Like if I say in the club, I don't know if that's as believable as me talking about my own experience.
So did somebody look you in the eyes and say, you're a player, aren't you?
Yes. And I bet you got hoes. Yes. Exactly.
And
that.
What was your response?
You don't know me like that. I'm talking verbatim. Yes. This is a verbatim conversation.
So you experience this and know that you need to turn it into a song? Like, what is... Or did you hear the
I wasn't really a songwriter at the time. I was still trying to figure it out. I had made some stuff like under a different name, like Tyler Semicolon, that I was still trying to figure out. And the lyrics were there. They were like, the concepts were there. But it wasn't all the way there. It took a little toxic relationship to bring it all out of me.
Really? So what changes, is that you have a toxic relationship between Tyler Semicolon and...
Hell yeah. During Tyler Semicolon into Ty Verde's.
Is Ty Verde exactly who you are today, or is it a different version of you?
I think everyone changes, right? So I think Ty Burdiss is like, if you were just like naming your younger selves, then yeah, Ty Burdiss is me when I was younger, and now Ty Burdiss, I mean Tyler Semicolon is me when I was younger, and then Ty Burdiss is me now, you know?
So do you change your name in a few years? Like, what's the deal?
No, I think I'm going to stick with Ty Burdiss a little bit, but yeah.
So many questions still.
Very fascinating.
Yeah, lucky you. You're on our couch. Are you listening to the production and then realizing what story you need to tell? Or are you just like thinking up lyrics and stories that you want to tell, keeping notes of them,
yeah,
and then matching it to production? Like, how does it work?
I think as a songwriter, you're always on, at least for the songwriters that I know, you're always on. Like, you're always like thinking about conversations that you've had or are having currently. Like, you could say something right now and be like, I need to write that down. Like, I'm always writing things down in my notes app just because those are the most authentic things that you experience. And if something catches you in conversation, then that should probably, you know, be written down, at least for me.
Okay. So, but then you hear the, a beat, and how do you match it up? How do you, like, what goes on there?
I think that's kind of the innate, like piano experience for, like, 13 years and listening to different types of music. Like, I listen to every single thing ever, so I can kind of drop into the pocket of any type of genre of song. Like, because I listen to, like, 50 Cent. I listen to the Now. That's what I call music CDs. I listen to, ooh, Shrek the Musical.
Look at you. Yeah, staying current with the Now Volume 62.
Dude, no, that was back when, like, my age was the same number as the Now, like Now 5, Now 6, yeah.
Oh, dude, are you, yeah, like born in 2000? Like, what's your deal?
No, 1995. I'm like on the, okay, edge of millennial and Gen Z.
Yeah, you're the age of my sister.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, I'm old. Gosh.
But yeah, so then finding that pocket, like one of my favorite songs is the United Airlines theme, Rhapsody in Blue. That song, that's great.
What?
Yeah, like, just crazy.
No, what is this?
Like 2005. Remember when you used to go on an airplane and they used to play Rhapsody in Blue? Ah, man, if you listen to it, you'll get it. Are you pulling it up?
I'm gonna try and pull it up, but this is the song they played on the airplane.
Yeah, this is the United Airlines theme song.
And this is one of your favorites.
This is one of my favorite classical songs. One of my favorite classical songs of all time.
Okay, got it. What's one of your, like, other favorite songs?
Favorite songs of all time. I really like, and this is completely different.
I never asked people this question, so now I'm interested.
That Billie Eilish song, When the Party's Over, is great. Three Nights by Dominic Fike is great.
Oh, great record. Both of those songs.
Acai
really
Bowl
good.
By Dominic Fike is great.
Another great song.
Brent Faiyaz, I forget the name of it, but Brent Faiyaz has a song that doesn't have a chorus that I really like.
Dude.
Yeah. Are you talking?
No, I was going to say, you write songs without choruses.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the things that I took a jump in, not really a jump, because I don't really think about how people are going to consume my music. I just want to say something on the track, and hopefully people connect to it, you know, if they want to. With Real World,
yes,
I was really wondering how that would react, and I think it just got a million streams on Spotify. So having that type of success, just sharing my stream of consciousness, is really awesome to see for the future.
Are you looking to do a balance, or are you looking to just rewrite the rules of everything that you do?
I mean, yeah, rewrite the, like, everyone's done it all already, you know? Like, why would I want to do something that everyone already did, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned Real World, and I was going to say, that's just like five straight verses and an outro, right?
Yeah.
Did you try putting a bridge or anything in there, or did you just kind of write and you said, this is it?
Yeah, exactly that. I kind of knew when I was done, because when I started it, it felt so, like, some things are too real to put an 808 on, you know? Some things are too real to put, like, some synths on. Like, when it becomes too production, it doesn't translate. That's why I think Love Yourself has just a guitar, right? Because that was the best version. They had, like, 808s on, and they just stripped it back.
I Deserve to Be Alone.
Yeah, that was one of the sessions where I, like, said that in a session with some producer. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's good. We should do that, you know?
Do you deserve to be alone?
All my songs are moments, right? Like, I feel that way in the moment, and then we pass on and we do the next one, you know? So, like, yeah, in that moment, I feel like I deserve to be alone. After you a relationship, maybe you should give some space, you know, because you're being toxic.
So do you learn anything from making the song?
Yeah, you learn... Well, making this album, I realized that, like, music is kind of therapy for me because it's so focusing, and I just, like, put my emotions into it. Yeah, and just singing it. I've sung it in front of some people, and that's how I realized that, like, yeah, this is therapy for me, just being out here and expressing myself.
So the song helps you move on from the moment.
Yeah, song helps you move on from the moment. Song helps you remember the moment so you don't do it again. Like, yeah, it's great.
Fake Prophet is like, dude, that song really stuck out to me. Do you feel like you need fame for love? Or, like, what's the story there?
No, I think that's just me being young, you know, and that's what I meant by I want it to be okay for people to think things. Like, I think there's a lot of people in LA or maybe in the Midwest or the East Coast, and it doesn't matter where you are, but maybe you see somebody and and they have a lot of things and you think your partner is going to be jealous. Your partner is going to want those things, yeah. Right? That's a classic thought that people have had that I just don't hear a lot. So I just was like, what if I did this? That what if is more exciting to me than catering to what has already happened.
What is success to you? How do you define it?
Success is output. So I don't really care if I get a lot of streams on something because that's determined by other people. So if other people have control over what I think is success, then you're never going to figure out what success is. But if I say, oh, I put out an album, that's successful. If I say next year I want to put out another album and I do, then that's success, right? I can't be like, oh, if I win a Grammy or something like that, then that's success. Obviously, that's a successful thing, but it needs to be based on output of like, how many songs did you write today? Then you're successful. How many sessions did you do this week? You know, did you show up? Like, that's success.
What is your rule? Do you have to go to a session and finish a song, or will you leave with something?
Oh, no, just show up. Yeah, you could just show up and eat a burger and then leave. You just got to show up. My management team has Mike Posner on, and that was the one thing that he told me is that you just got to show up to every single session. And even if it's going bad, you might just write something that you like. And then, or maybe it's just a part or a word that you'll take to the next one or meet somebody that might help you for the next thing. But you just got to show up to all of them.
Mike Posner is one of the greatest artists of all time.
Wow, he's up there for you. Yeah, same. When I heard I Took a Pill in Ibiza, yeah, man.
He's also one of the nicest human beings of all time.
He's also crazy. He's climbed Mount Everest.
He's on another level.
I don't think a lot of people realize what climbing Mount Everest means.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, he came on our show and explained it to us, but yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's life-threatening.
Yeah, well, exactly. I was on FaceTime with him like 2 days ago, and he was like, yeah, I climbed over some dead bodies when I was going up Everest. Now, that's just not, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm probably not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably not going to climb Everest, probably not going to go deep sea diving. The moon is in, you know, it has to be 100, like 90% safe. I'm not going to do like wild shit like that.
That's in play though, the moon, in a serious way.
Exactly.
Well, I wanted to ask a question about Fake Prophet. Is the I think it's the opening verse, one of the first lines. Is it true that when you say your baby girl has a past with a bunch of very famous fellas?
Hell yeah, bro. What? Everything has been experienced, bro.
I guess you're not going to expand on who that may
be. Definitely not.
But you meet her when you're not famous or anything, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was F-list famous because of the reality TV show.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I technically I've been F-list famous for a long time, and I just, like, kind of knocked my tier up a little bit with this music stuff. You know?
What tier are you at now?
I'm at the tier where I don't think about it anymore. I think that at the lower tiers, you think about it a lot. Like, oh, what am I doing? That's why I was writing it, you know, because I was thinking about it. But once you start putting out something, you kind of don't care anymore, you know? And that's probably the biggest blessing so far, is that I just don't care I do care that things are growing and things are increasing, because I want to build right now. I'm that phase in my career where I still think I'm only on my first album. I want to have 10 albums, you know?
Well, A-OK is obviously blowing up. Do you feel
you got
like,
a big blue world right there. We got to see it.
I do.
Do you feel like that's one of those songs that could almost become bigger than you? Like, so many people know this song. It's so catchy. And they're like, wait, who sings this song again? Because you are a new artist.
I think I don't care what people think about how I'm attached to the song. Because there's always going to be that one person who doesn't like music. You know those people who don't like music?
Yeah.
And they're like, I've heard this song before, but I don't know, whatever. You know, like, I'm going to go do other things that with my free time. I think about consumers like that person. So maybe it means that I need to I don't need to do anything. I just need to focus on myself. You know, like, that's it. I focus on sharing my personality with people, and hopefully it goes bigger and bigger so that people, if they want to know who I am, they can, mm-hmm. you know?
So, yeah, because the song has the potential to be big, and yeah, and if you put things out there and they're interested, they'll go and search you.
Exactly.
But to your point, like, there is a passive consumer out there.
Yeah.
And I think you were categorizing them as somebody who doesn't like music, but I think it's more of a passive person, which is like somebody who interacts with it on the radio, or somebody mm-hmm. who catches it on a playlist, somebody who might like something, but in order to feed them, you have to hit them more than once.
Mm.
You've now kind of hit them twice.
Yeah.
Right? One, I think you're fully going to hit.
Yeah.
Stuck in the Middle, I think, could have gone further. I mean, you should have worked it to radio.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then you got to do it again, right?
Yeah. Well, I think I got technically 2.5 with Drugs for my stoner people out there.
Okay. But also, you haven't been given a chance to perform in front of a real crowd yet.
Yeah. Like, we're not, like, promotion right now, technically, a lot of that is shows. So when I go to Lollapalooza and I play in front of, like, whatever, I don't even know how many people. I've never been to a fest. I've never been to Lollapalooza, never been to a festival, never gone to one. My first show ever is going to be in front of Lollapalooza's crowd. I have no idea what it's going to look like. Don't know.
Do you know what you sound like?
I didn't until I started rehearsing for a live stream for my album. So after that, I'm going on the tour with Chelsea and
Cutler and Quinn.
Yeah, Chelsea Cutler and Quinn 92, and we're playing, you know, 10,000 room people. I mean, yeah, 10,000 people rooms there. I'm the opener, so I'm probably not going to get that crowd. I'm going to get to like 5,000 to, you know, 10,000. But that, I don't even know what that looks like.
I think people will come for you.
It doesn't seem like you get nervous, though.
We're going to die, dude. It's just like too much reality pushing in on me all the time. Like right now, if you like feel your body and like your breath, like this is going to end. That's what I think about
so
all the time.
You are paranoid all the time. That was a paranoid thought.
Really? I think
are you for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a paranoid thought. You just started with you're going to die. And if you think about it, you feel it in your whole body.
Are you always thinking about the fact that we're all going to die? Because it doesn't seem like that. It seems like you're like, we're all going to die, so I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Exactly. So I like.
So it's stored in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
at the ready, chilling in a subconscious place.
Exactly. When I was in college in like the darkest place, I listened to like Gary Vee and stuff. He'd be like, imagine your family is shot tomorrow. And I'd be like, well, okay, Gary, that's probably not going to happen. But I do get the sense that like we're going to die and that you can't live life like it's going to happen forever. Life is super long. You can't be doing stuff that you don't like because life is so long, it'll be depressing.
Yeah, that is accurate.
This almost kind of seems like what AOK is talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so what exactly was going on when you first thought of that idea?
I just wanted people to chill the f*** out, you know? Like, like when things are bad, like have you ever seen went into a Starbucks and people are yelling that they got their coffee order wrong?
Yes.
Or like they're just going through a drive-thru and treating people badly. That type of person, just listen to AOK, man. It's going to be all right. You know, the last line we added to the song was, the hate, do a shimmy shake, throw a middle finger up down the interstate was the last lines that we added. And that's what made AOK one of like my favorite songs, because it's just like carefree, like a shimmy shake, bro. That's awesome. Come on.
It's a phenomenal line.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? It just rhymes?
Just stream of consciousness, dude. It's just like things that I've experienced. Like, have you seen, like, if I had to trace it back to anything, it's a combination of Star Fox, do a barrel roll, and shimmy shake, which is like an 80s thing that I used to watch. So like do a shimmy shake instead of do a barrel roll, you know, like that.
Is your foot breaking connected to this attitude of everything is going to be okay? Because correct me if I'm wrong, like maybe I'm assuming, but like you mentioned that you were going to play sports. People don't just like play sports. Like you really give your all to the thing.
Yeah.
And if you think you're going to take it to at least a collegiate level, it consumes a vast majority of your existence.
Yeah, I think for me, because I had no one was saying, oh, Tyler's going to the NBA. But in the back of my head when I was a kid, I was like, illusions of grandeur. I'm going to the NBA. I like this thing and I'm doing it. And I think not a lot of people have had their dreams crushed so fast at an early age. Like something that was kind of not really solid, but kind of tangible. Because I was 6'7". I was also 17, you know, so it's like, oh, he kind of has a chance.
Yeah.
And for those people who kind of have a chance, they wait until they're 40 to realize that they don't have that chance. But I got it smacked in 17, and I was like, okay, I got to do something else. Because it just kept going lesser and lesser of a chance. Like, I was playing with, like, Donovan Mitchell at Brewster Academy, but then I went, like, D3, and then I got injured, and then it was like, ah, this is probably not going to happen, you know?
But until that injury, you had hope.
Yeah, but I would see people that I know now, like, I know a lot of people that are in the NBA right now, and they just have something like crazy about them. Like, Aaron Holiday has done some of the most athletic things that I've ever seen in my life. Donovan Mitchell, some of the most athletic things I've seen in my life. Marcus Derrickson, they've all, like, he would wear like a trash bag in his sleep to sweat more, and I just wouldn't do that, you know?
So you never like watch these guys, like you never watch a Jazz game and watch Donovan out there and you're like, me.
No, because I'd hate myself. My knees would hurt after the game. Like, I'd be angry at all the fans for yelling too loud the entire time. I'd be like, that's just not the life, you know? But for me, going out and playing a festival, this is a secret. I'm probably going to want to do that again. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'd want to play 82 games of NBA basketball.
You see something special in them. Do you have the ability to see something special in you?
Yeah, but like right when I came out of the womb, I think my mom put that in me, you know, like not seeing something special, but like everyone can be special. You just have to think that your voice matters. And my mom did a really good job of like telling me like your voice matters, like your thoughts matter, say them out loud.
What does she think of all this?
She doesn't care. not that she doesn't care, but like, she just like, your work isn't you. Like, I'm glad that you're having a good time. I'm supportive.
In this case, your work is you, right? You are your songs.
Yeah, I am my songs, but it's also removed to the fact, like, if I go have dinner with my family, it's not like we're singing stuck in the middle the entire time. You know what I'm saying? Not. So, like, yeah, I think it's more being able to talk about other things that aren't me. That's, like, that's what life is, you know? Like, living life, not just work. Because right now I'm super into work because I've never had something that I really wanted to do. Other people have been in college and been like, oh, I'm going to be a business major. I want to be in business. And they worked 4 years for that. And then they figured out that they didn't want to do that anymore. And they're at an accounting job and they're like, gosh, maybe I don't want to count. Maybe I want to do marketing, or they want to change fields. I realized at 25 something that I actually wanted to do for the first time in my entire life. And that's why I'm so passionate about this right now.
Because you're only... Are you still 25?
Yeah, I'm still 25. Well, I guess 24 is when I figured it out.
But music was instilled in you earlier.
Yeah.
What was the first song you ever wrote?
First song I ever wrote, the first session I ever had, before you go on reality TV, they put you in a week. They put you in a hotel for 2 weeks. Okay. And I was with this guy named Ethan. His rap name's E-Money. And I lied to him. And I said, I'm a singer. and I had a ukulele.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because I had like sang in my room in college. I more likely played the ukulele just to play songs that I liked. But I brought the ukulele to the reality TV show because I saw some other dudes do it. And they had a song that got like 300,000 views on YouTube. And I was like, I can beat that because I'm competitive. So then I went to the hotel, brought out my ukulele. And actually, it wasn't even my ukulele. It was somebody else's ukulele that they brought. And I was like, yes. Because you can't really bring a ukulele because you had to pack a bag. I thought it would break. But yeah, I got there and me and him were like, you're not supposed to talk to each other. But then he kind of let it slip that he does music. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, I was like, oh, we're here. This is meant to happen. And then we lied to him about being a singer. And then I wrote like Perfect Match, which is the name of the song. It's on Spotify too. Yeah.
And you wrote it with Imani.
Yeah, that was the first hook that I wrote, I think. And it slaps too. Like, if you go back to like the visualization of it, of what I'm saying, it's kind of cool. It's great for the show.
Did you think in that moment that this was good?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was going to go on the radio, but I knew it was good. I was like, this is the best song that's come out of Are You the One? Yeah, definitely, for sure. Or definitely, maybe even MTV, I guess.
Wow. So is Stuck in the Middle of the next song? No. There's more songs between.
No. So after I did that, I did some other songs with E-Money. I did about like 6 songs with E-Money. Then I was like, damn, I need to be a solo artist. Not because of anything he did, just because in my head I pictured me doing it by myself. So I had to figure out how to do it by myself. And that's the hardest thing that I think a lot of people that are trying to make music do, is that they're like, okay, do I have to get, what DAW do I use to make the music? What mic do I get? What interface do I get? What are all these technical things? Even though I'm so artistic and I want to say all these things, how do I make a song? And that's probably the hardest, that was one of the hardest things to do. And then once I figured out by myself that I needed to pay other people to help me do those things, then that's when progress started to get made. And then I started by wasting money. I paid somebody $2,000 to make a song, and that's a waste.
What song was it?
I don't even remember. It was good. I don't even remember the name of the song. Facing the Crowd or something like that. And I was like, I don't want to be a face in the crowd, or something like that. You know, so you have to write those. You have to write those songs in order to get to Stuck in the Middle. You know, so it's a process.
How many songs do you think you wrote between
finished songs?
E-Money. No, they didn't mean to be finished.
12.
12.
Yeah. So I picked it up pretty fast.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I picked it up like pretty fast.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Like less than 15, because two or three didn't come out. But yeah.
It seems like every single article about you mentions like the Verizon store first. Are you excited?
They love the Verizon
store. They really do. It's like, yeah, it's a part of your life, but like
real tangible. You see it and you're like, oh, I know what the Verizon store looks like. Everyone knows what it's like to go into a Verizon store and be like, can you fix my phone? You know?
Are you excited for people to just like stop talking about that and stop making it the headline?
Like I said, I don't care what the headline is. I really don't. You can write about anything. You can write about TikTok. You can write about Verizon store. You can write about, what is it, the reality show. You can do anything you want. I'm just going to be over here making music, marketing myself, because that's the thing that's going to drive things forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy Till It Hurts. Is there a Squidward reference in there?
Which line?
I don't know. I heard the word Squidward. Maybe I was hearing something.
No,
today.
Definitely didn't say Squidward.
Damn.
Squeeze that into your next song.
Yeah, I got to.
Write that down. That's a meme.
Right?
Damn. It's a great song, though.
I love Happy Till It Hurts, too. That's like my ethos.
Is that the goal?
Yeah, man. You got to be, after being like sad because of no reason, you want to definitely be happy until it, like, it's the opposite of that, you know?
Did you think maybe this line, because I broke hearts, quit work, truth hurts, eat dirt? Do you think like...
Oh, he said I said Squidward?
Yeah.
Dude, I've heard things in songs before. It's very funny.
I do too. Oh, man.
And they're always... It's most of the time inaccurate, so I have to reference the for lyrics, me, which I did for the most part.
Yeah.
There's a One Direction song, and I think they say start, but it sounds like they're saying fart every time, and it's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love Deserve to Be Alone. Fake Prophet's amazing. Are your parents divorced?
Yeah, they got divorced like 2 years ago. So this is me like talking about it, but it's already happened, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, like, yeah, but like back then, how long ago did you write that? You mentioned it in a record.
Oh, Bad Bad News.
Yeah.
I wrote Bad Bad News last year, but they got divorced like 2 years ago. So in reality, maybe it's cool for that lyric, because stay together longer than my parents did is for people who maybe they only stay together for like, I don't know, 6 years to 20 years. You know, you just want to do better than what your parents did most of the time. Like if they got divorced, you want to stay together in your relationship, right?
And by the way, in most aspects in life, right? And I think your parents want that for you too, right?
Yeah.
To be served as, like, they live as a cautionary tale, so.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think that getting divorced is a cautionary tale. I think it's just a part of your process. Like if you found someone and maybe it just didn't work out, people change. Like relationships for me are so like, people have all this pressure on relationships when in reality, there's so many other aspects of life that need to be so straight in order for everything to happen, in order for you to be happy. Like you should just be happy first and then get in a relationship. But people try to use their relationship to be happy, and that's not going to work ever.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It is true. I mean, people do. They seek out relationships even when they're in a bad place. But a good relationship really is bringing out the best in each other. And how do you do that when you're in a place to start?
Yeah, and I was poor, bro. It's really hard to pay for dinner when you're like thinking about the tip, dog. It's a lot.
You just ran out of gas on the highway.
Yeah, dude, I did. I just ran out of gas on the highway. That was just because I'm busy and I forgot to.
The money is caught up, yes? Because you have mentioned in articles, too, that like, you know, you don't really get paid instantly. And just because you have a hit song on the internet doesn't mean... You cannot be at the Verizon store to pay bills.
Yeah, no, I'm Gucci now, though. I don't.
When did Arista come in and offer you a deal? How many songs had you had out?
Man, I had one song out.
Stuck in the Middle?
Yeah, but they had heard some other stuff. Like, I think I might have had the demo for Drugs when I had signed that deal. But yeah, that's another situation where I just had got offered from like Atlantic and another big, I forget. I talked to everybody. Back in 2020, which is not that long ago, labels were talking to everybody on TikTok, like every single label. So,
did you have a manager at the time?
No, I talked to, well, actually I did. I met my managers first, and then the label started contacting me.
Got it.
Yeah, well, and also my managers knew the labels because they had worked with Mike, and they knew everyone too. So
was that scary for you? Because like the wrong record deal can ruin your life.
I wasn't in a position to where I was going to do that. I was in a position to where I wanted to own everything, and I still own everything. So that's like my thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's
smart.
That's the deal.
I had leverage because of TikTok.
Yeah, you were already big when they came to you.
But also, I could have sold everything and gotten way more money, but I need to own things. That's like my thing. That's the whole entrepreneurship thing. It's like my business, you know?
Yeah. But it's also how you maintain all this passion and this. I mean, dude, it is. You own it. It's yours. Nobody else's hand is in it necessarily. I mean, it's only the hands that you want in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's very few artists in history that actually own their own music. Modern day, like Macklemore, AJR. I know you're big AJR fans.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm a fan of good music. So if you have some good songs, I'm probably going to like you. You know, it's the people that kind of... Nah, I like every, like, I can go through an artist's song and pick my favorite song. That's the thing.
Yeah, you can go through their catalog and pick something.
Yeah.
But yeah, very few artists own their own stuff. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, going back to you, when you said, when was the right time to release Drugs after like 6 months of pushing Suck in the Middle?
Yeah.
I just said at a certain point, we need to like put something out. You know, it was like a very conscious decision to be like, this is needs to happen sooner than later.
Yeah.
You know? Because you have to build at some point. You can't just run it. Like, even A-OK, I don't really, like, okay, A-OK could go number one, and, like, you need another album, you know, like, no matter what.
No, it's always and.
Exactly. So, it's just building, you know?
What do you learn from somebody like Lil Nas X that you take with you? Because you had mentioned him.
Lil Nas X is a goat. Goat, yeah. I think people don't understand that everything he does marketing-wise is so... dialed in and precision based through different types of brackets of age groups. Like he'll put a video of him doing just like Montero, but vocally on YouTube to promote Montero. And people don't realize that that's promoting Montero because if it gets views on that, then people are going to listen to the songs. Yeah. He'll put the SpongeBob meme on his whatever it's called. His treatment so that people realize that he's like a regular guy making these music videos out of his own head through things that we all experienced as like, I don't know, 21 to 30 year olds in our childhood. And he's making new. So it's like he's doing some wild stuff.
Brilliant what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Montero is a genius. And he is just like you and me and everybody else out there.
Yeah.
And it's really incredible. But he is... he's laid quite a path. Like, and culture is cyclical, right? And I've been on the radio, for instance, for like 13 years. And the first half was digital, like when YouTube was first erupting. And then that led a path to like a bunch of cover artists trying to go mainstream. And a couple of them make their way over. And then you see it with Vine. And then it's Musical.ly. And now it's TikTok.
Yes.
It's all derived from a digital stream, right? Which makes it super cool. But Nas really laid the groundwork for like the TikTok records. He was the first of this cycle of it all. And genius.
Dude, I watched all those kids. I was in college and I'm like, wait, this YouTuber Logan Paul is now living in LA? Wait, this Vine guy, King Bash, is now in LA? Wait, whoa. This is a lot. Wait, DJ Khaled from Snapchat is now one of the biggest names? So I watched three social media, and for TikTok, I was like, I am not missing this. None of those four people are more, like, have more things going on in their brain than me. I have the same material that everyone else has, so I can do the same thing that they do. And that's, like, also another thing my mom gave me, you know, just like, no one is special, yet everyone is special, you know? Like, you just got to try.
Yeah, so you can do it, too.
Exactly.
So you were just waiting for the platform to emerge for you to take advantage of it.
I wasn't waiting for the platform. The TikTok kind of found me. I didn't even, I was, To be honest, guys, I don't even know how to use TikTok the best. Like, I am not the best at using TikTok.
I mean, it's really not that complicated.
Yeah, it, I mean, from the videos I do, but some people are doing, like, the transition, yeah, like, yeah, this. I have no idea how to do that. That's not me. Yeah.
They can go, potential and possibilities are endless with the TikTok editing,
yeah, exactly,
interface. What are you thinking over there?
I just heard that you're done your second album already. Is that true?
Dude, I have all the albums planned out.
Wait,
so like
what?
I have the second album, the third album, and the fourth album. I know what the cover art's going to be. I know what the album names are going to be. I know what everything is going to happen.
So you know the songs already?
Yeah, I know the general idea. Like the thing is, all my albums are malleable. Like even the first one was, there were songs that were on it that I added to it. Like I just have the general idea of what I want, and then if I, because I'm going to write for like years and years and select songs from those, from me writing. So just having a world and then placing songs in that world, maybe taking it out, putting it in this world. Then I take, I don't know if it goes in this world. Maybe I put it in this world. Maybe I try it for this world. It makes it easier.
Oh, I get it. So you're just going to create a bunch of music and then from there kind of place them into albums.
Yeah, but for the second album, yeah. I could, if I could put out an album tomorrow and I, just do it, yeah, I could put out an album tomorrow.
So do you understand your sound that well, or do you know the way to evolve it? What are you worried about?
Well, no one knows the right way to evolve anything. You know, like if you look at anyone who's been in the game for a long time, Justin Bieber, if you wrote Peaches 5 years ago and put it out 5 years ago, I don't know if it would hit, but did it hit now? If you wrote Baby and put it out today, I don't know if it would hit, but it hit then. So it's like everyone's transforming. Everyone's changing. You just have to change.
With the times, though, right?
Yeah,
with the
times.
Moment. So if you're...
Or you can create a moment, too.
Yeah, you can. So, but that's like, those tend to come far and few between,
yeah,
and they're not, like, maybe you have one or two moments on every album,
yeah, yeah,
if
yeah,
you're lucky. But then there's some artists who won't release an album until they know that every song is a moment.
Yeah.
So you don't get to experience what Justin, the example that you just laid out, mm-hmm, with Justin Bieber, if you're creating all your albums so close to one another.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what is the goal, just to keep creating constantly?
Yeah, like I want to be to a place to where I make this world, and if every song on it is immovable on it, like every song that I put on that thing, I'm saying something, it means something, and I think it's going to connect. Even if it doesn't connect, it connects with me.
Yeah.
Then we're good. Let's chill. I might write another song that might be better, but it's all malleable in my head, you know? And then with all these next albums coming through, it's just me building this repertoire. Like I picked out of maybe 40 songs for the first album. I'm about to pick out of like 200 songs for the second album. For the third album, it's probably going to be like 300 songs, you know? So it's just going to be my decision making, you know?
Wow. Are you prepared to play Stuck in the Middle and AOP
until
for the rest
I die
of your life?
Yeah, yeah, man. I think if you've had people come into the Verizon store and with anger and fire in their eyes about their plan and tell you, why the f*** did you charge me so much for your phone bill? You would want to play A-OK every single day too.
So you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that I've had that experience.
Be different in a few years. Once you've done a bunch of tour dates.
Yeah, I mean, once I've done a bunch of tour dates, yeah, things could definitely change. But I think that I'm super glad I got the experience. I didn't just work at Verizon. I worked at this luxury Asian sunglass store named Gentle Monster, mm-hmm, and they wouldn't let me sit down. So I would stand for like 8 hours a day because it's luxury, you know, and I would wear all black, and I'd wear the same pair of jeans every single day because I only had like two black pairs of jeans. And that was terrible. So I had that experience. I was also an intramural volleyball ref. So I'd go to Santa Monica Beach, and I'd have Karen from accounting warming up and Dan from marketing being like, yo, that was in on the line. Dan, relax. We're all having fun here. You know, like that's what I would do. And having those experiences makes it so that playing a show in front of people who are excited to see you on a song that I wrote is super easy. Like other artists who like, I just wish that they could go do what I did, yeah, so they realize what they are, what's the opposite.
They'll really understand the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Very well said and very true.
That's why I love Bella Poarch. I listen to her H3 podcast and she has gone through so much, and I'm biggest Bella Poarch fan.
She's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of great musicians that have emerged from TikTok.
Dude, I can go through a lot. Jack Hayes, Claire Rosencrantz. Who else do I really like? Peter McPoland is really cool. Yeah, dude. You got the early ones like Curtis Waters with Stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rip Momney. There's a lot of people.
Oh, Rip Momney. Yeah.
Who's the Coffee for Your Head guy?
Oh, man, I can't think of him.
Beba Doobie and.
Yes.
What's his name?
Young Gravy kind of had some hits on TikTok too.
Pau Fu.
That's correct. Damn.
Pau Fu, Doja Cat killing every single song on TikTok.
But there is a fear that it could produce a bunch of one-hit wonders, and I do think...
Oh, I think it already kind of is doing that. Yeah. Like, if you look at some of those people that we've named, you kind of have to keep doing it again. That's the thing that TikTok is really showing is, can you build a career by the songs that you're making right now? And maybe it takes longer for some people, but for me and TikTok, I think it's really nice to songwriters... Clinton Kane is another one who's usually doing a great.
Dude,
yeah.
Nuggets or whatever. Nuggets. Whatever the fuck.
Said Nuggets.
Chicken Nuggets, whatever.
Yeah.
Love that song. He's so talented.
Exactly.
He is such a gift.
Yep. Exactly. So when you have someone like that who's songwriting and you're using the words on the screen, you're sharing your stories with people, TikTok is really just a storytelling app, you know, so it's better for storytellers and songwriters than it is maybe a dance artist, but you can still make it as a dance artist and like not a dance artist, but like if you're making electronic music or R&B music, like I think the best songs on TikTok have stories or are very visual or very like you can touch them, like you can feel them, you know.
But all of your songs are that, like, you really you feel them, you can see them. Like, really, like, mm-hmm. My mind's eye gets busy. Your records are really good. I mean, like, this album, if I were you, I'd be nervous about following it up because it's so good.
Yo, I can show you some stuff after this, and you'd be like, oh, sh-.
Yeah, let's see. Because real talk, I, like, just being honest, like, it's one of my favorite albums of the year.
That's awesome.
And I think you... are going to sell at arenas. Like, I really do. Mm. Based on this album, I mean, don't f*** it up. It's easy to f*** it up, truthfully. Real talk, like, it's easy to get... Yeah. It's not easy to get here, but, like, there's a combination of consistency.
Yeah.
Like, consistency has led to people being able to reach certain heights. It's mm-hmm. about staying there and continuing to ascend and not descend after that. It's not about... how you got here. It's about how long you stay here.
Yeah. And I think even if I do f*** it up, there's no one on earth that can tell me to stop. You know, that's the thing.
So,
like,
you can always repair it.
Exactly. Like, with the, and just have one of the biggest assets, I think, was just talking to Mike Posner, going through his ups and down as like an artist, of being like, having like, please don't go. And then years later, having I Took a Pill in Ibiza, just by staying true and keeping, like, going to the session, writing the song, keep doing, keep going, like, just do, and then it'll work. Because when you think about a goal, you're going to get there if you just think about it hard enough. If you start going like, I don't know if I'm going to get there, then it's harder to get there.
Yeah, if you start putting doubt.
Yeah.
But dude, Mike Posner is consistency personified.
Yeah.
But he's also a gift and very kind, and he's
shout
also talented. Shout out to Mike Posner, dude. Phenomenal body of work. Link in the description below. Please, please, please give it your ear. Ty Verdes, everybody. Hey, beautiful human. Thanks for joining our conversation with Ty Verdes. I really appreciate it. Please share our podcast with those you care about. Hit subscribe and let us know who we should interview next. At Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. Have an amazing day. Be safe. Hug your family. Don't go to jail. And yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Peace and love.